God's word comes to us this morning in the gospel according to John in the 18th chapter and beginning to read at verse 28. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and the reason I came into the world is to testify to the truth, and everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." Amen. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, we come before you acknowledging your lordship over our lives. And we pray that you would speak to us and grant us the ability not only to hear what you have to say to us, but the strength and power to live it out in our daily lives so that we may bring honor and glory to your holy name. Amen. As I noted in my words of welcome in the bulletin for this morning, the last Sunday of the liturgical year is always marked as Christ the King Sunday. Next week, the Christian Church will begin a whole new liturgical year with the first Sunday of Advent. And we tend to think of the 4 weeks before Christmas as a time of preparation for our celebration of the Savior's birth. But in point of fact, the Advent season was originally intended to be a time of preparation for the Lord's return at the end of the ages, his second Advent. And for that reason, it seemed wise to introduce those 4 weeks on the Sunday which precedes them with an emphasis on the fact that Jesus Christ is King and that when he returns to the earth, it will be in power and glory as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The gospel lesson for this year's Christ the King Sunday is taken from John's gospel and records our Savior's interaction with Pontius Pilate on Good Friday morning. The Son of God has been arrested by the Jewish authorities and found guilty of blasphemy. They want the Roman governor to carry out his execution. And Pilate, since he does not believe that Jesus deserves to die, is looking for a way out. And so after hearing Jesus say that his kingdom is not of this world, he asks, "Are you a king then?" To which Jesus answers, "In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world." Of all the passages which might be used as a basis for a sermon on Christ as king, this one serves to remind us of some significant truths about the nature of the king and the nature of his kingdom. And we can begin with the fact that there are three distinct advents of Jesus Christ as king. The first is the one we will celebrate on Christmas morning. The Son of God came into the world to fulfill the promises made to the people of Israel that in the fullness of time, an ancestor of their greatest king, David, would arrive to be their king forever. Jesus, God the Son, clothed in our humanity, came into the world to establish the kingdom of God, but not just for the Jewish people, the people of Israel, but for all people everywhere. In his first advent, he came to be the Christ, the Anointed One, who by his life and ministry, his death and resurrection, would open that kingdom not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. And his birth in Bethlehem marks the arrival of the king and the inauguration of his kingdom. But there is a sense in which the king continues to come into the world today. The risen Christ comes to all those who receive him as Savior and Lord, and who trust in his name for their salvation. Prior to his death, Jesus promises his first followers that he will not leave them as orphans, that he will come to them and be with them forever. And that same promise obtains for you and me today. The Son of God assures us that he will never leave us and that he will never forsake us. And by the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit, King Jesus comes to us today. Whenever repentant and believing souls open their hearts to the Lord, he comes. He comes to live in them and to live through them. As the Christmas carol puts it so well, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. King Jesus comes. His advent for us is as we open our hearts and he makes himself known and lives his life in and through us. And of course, the third coming of the King as our Lord's return at the end of the ages. God the Son entered the world in humility and weakness, coming to deal with the sin problem of humanity. And then having solved that problem with his atoning death on the cross, he has promised to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead and to set all things right. You know, during his ministry, Jesus tells stories of kings who leave and then return. And on the day of his ascension and his return to heaven, the angels promised his followers, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. So history is moving toward the culmination of all things. And passage after passage in the New Testament affirms that King Jesus is coming again. It's imperative, however, that we have a clear understanding of the kind of king the Lord Jesus has come, still comes, and is coming to be. In his first advent, the Son of God came in meekness and humility. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians that our Savior emptied himself of the glory and prerogatives of his divinity and took the form of a servant, embracing the will of his heavenly Father and offering up his life for the sake of the world. On Palm Sunday, Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. See, your king comes to you gently and riding on a donkey. And on the night before his death, Jesus kneels and washes the feet of his closest friends, telling them that he is leaving them an example that they should follow him as his disciples. And those qualities continue to be the marks of his kingship today. For as Jesus, the King, comes to us now, in this time between his first coming and his return, he fulfills the office of King, just as the Shorter Catechism says, by subduing us to himself, by ruling over us and defending us, and by conquering all his enemies and ours. King Jesus subdues us to himself by the power of his love for you and me, a love which breaks down all the barriers that we might erect against his coming. And he rules over us and defends us by the power of his Holy Spirit, who gives us the desire and the strength, the gifts and the graces we need to keep his commandments and to resist the temptations we face. King Jesus destroys our last enemy, death itself, through his resurrection and the hope of everlasting life. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, our King comes to us not only as our Lord, but also as our protector, our guide, our friend. And at his return, the Son of God will come again in glory with power and might. He will come as the King who sits in judgment on a sinful and rebellious world. He will separate the faithful sheep from the rebellious goats. He will reward his followers for all they have done for him and for his kingdom. He will root out all wickedness and confine the powers of evil to that eternal torment prepared for them. By his power, on the day of his appearing, creation will be restored, all things will be made new, all wrongs will be righted, justice will triumph over injustice, strife will be ended, and peace will prevail. The strong Son of God, clothed in majesty, awesome in holiness, unconquerable in might, will be acknowledged as the King, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. The passage from John's Gospel suggests that it's also well for us to think about the nature of his kingdom, the kingdom the Son of God has come to establish. In the Gospels, Jesus speaks often of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And in the Lord's Prayer, we gain a succinct understanding of what that means when the words, "Thy kingdom come," are followed with the words, "Thy will be done." You know, the kingdom our Savior has come to establish is that realm in which the will of God reigns supreme. King Jesus has come into the world to make it possible for the citizens of his kingdom to be able both to know and to do the will of his heavenly Father. In his first advent, our Savior accomplished all that is needed, all that needs to be done for us to live our lives as those who not only understand God's will, but who have also been empowered to do it. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans that the kingdom of God is not a matter of meat and drink, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what the reign of God is all about. That's what King Jesus has established here on earth. By his death on the cross, he has brought us forgiveness and made us righteous in the sight of God. And clothed in his righteousness, the righteousness of King Jesus, you and I have peace with God. And being forgiven and reconciled to God, we live at peace with one another as forgiven and reconciled subjects of the King and as fellow citizens of his kingdom. But more than that, as the Holy Spirit carries out his sanctifying work in your life and mine, we're filled with the joy unspeakable, that confident and unshakable hope that his work in us will be completed on the day of his return. Note that Jesus tells Pontius Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. Yet in Luke's Gospel, the Lord makes this statement to his followers. He says, "The kingdom of God is within you." And that could also be translated, "The kingdom of God is among you." The reality of the kingdom is not only personal. As Jesus rules in our hearts, that reality is also corporate. It is found in our life together. It can be said of the church, at its best, that it is a provisional expression of the kingdom of God. Our congregation, Kenmar UP, is intended to be, to the world around us, a preview of coming attractions. The love which binds us together, the forgiveness that we experience here, the concern we have for a needy world, our efforts to work for justice and peace are all part of our effort to be the kingdom of God, a community of faith in which God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And now it's time to stop preaching and start meddling. Our Lord says of himself, "I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world." And the question that raises for us, one we need to ask ourselves as we approach the Advent season, is this. What is the reason you and I were born? Why are we here? You know, the Shorter Catechism says that our chief end, our reason for being, is to glorify and enjoy God forever. Put another way, I would say that the reason we were born and came into this world is so that you and I might be, each one of us, a child of the King, Each of us was created for a special relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. We weren't born with that relationship, but our Savior would have each of us to be born again as a child of the King. And that's why He came and lived and died and rose again for you and me. But that, of course, is just the beginning. We were born not simply that we might become the children of God. We were born that we might know Jesus not only as our Savior, but also as our Lord. He wants us and He expects us to acknowledge Him as the King of our lives. And that begins with a willingness on our part to allow Him to have the final say when it comes to all the decisions we make every single day. All that we say, all that we do. Note that I said it begins with our willingness to surrender control to His Lordship. In point of fact, bringing our lives under His control is actually a lifelong endeavor. It involves an openness on our part to allow the Holy Spirit to show us those things which we're loath to relinquish to Jesus. It requires a desire on our part to allow the Spirit to enable us to let go of those things. For we were born and born again so that we might mature in our faith and grow in our commitment until Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And finally, our reason for being and the purpose for which we were born is that we might be faithful and productive citizens of the kingdom of God. The goal of our lives, the thing we are to be aiming for, is that final affirmation which the King will bring when He comes again and says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." Now, what living as faithful and productive citizens means for each of us is going to depend on the gifts and talents, the skills and abilities, the possibilities and the opportunities which come to us, which are ours to use to expand the boundaries and the impact of the kingdom while we live here on the earth. But until we recognize that it's in living our lives to the glory of God and for the honor of the kingdom, none of the other reasons we come up with for why we were born are going to produce the meaning and the purpose our lives were created to have. And so it's my hope and my prayer that the coming weeks of the Advent season will provide many opportunities for us to appreciate what a great King and what a great God you and I have in Jesus Christ. May our celebration of His birth bring a deeper sense of awe at the love which brought Him to Bethlehem and took Him to the cross for you and me. And may His presence with us in the here and now, as King of our lives, fill us with the confidence we need to trust in His power to subdue and rule and protect and defend us as He lives His life in us and through us. And may the promise of His return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords motivate us to live each day faithfully as we await His final advent, when we, with all creation, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen.